Good morning. My name is Dale Swan. I was asked to introduce this man right here. This morning's speaker is Bob Reed. Bob was the pastor here at Calvary Monument for over 30 years. I believe it was around 33, if I'm correct. My wife and kids and I started attending here after Bob had retired. Lucky us. So I've never served with Bob, but here's what I can say. This church belongs to God, and we've all left our fingerprints. And Bob's fingerprints on this church are clear that he loves the Lord, that he has a heart for sharing and spreading the gospel, whether it's from the pulpit, Montana, or Ukraine. The love is also evident because the people of this church share the same passion. Our current global partners, over 20 of them were sent directly or are directly connected to this congregation. I hope Pastor Reed's words this morning help inspire the next generation to follow in their footsteps. Thanks, Bob.
Well, good morning. It's good to be able to be with you and to be able to share the Word of God, and looking forward to being able to do that. And, you know, there's a phrase in the book of Jeremiah, and it's a great phrase. And it was one that really carried me as I started in ministry. And I was just a young pup, and now I'm an old dog. But it was interesting that I was very, very nervous about serving the Lord. I was just 21 and starting in a church with in Lancaster that's now called Calvary Church. And when I started there, I said, Lord, I'm really not sure I should be doing this. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm imagining what the Lord is saying. It's a little bit late to talk about that now, you know. But a verse that came to mind was, I started to teach from the book of Jeremiah. And it said in Jeremiah, be not afraid of their faces. I thought, that's a great verse. And so I held on to that verse, and I held on to it all my life. And today it's a lot easier because I can't see your faces. But it is good to be able to share with you from the Word of God. And I trust that as we look into the Word of God, the Spirit of God would be our teacher, that He would lead us into truth. And I don't want Him only to lead us into truth, but I want the Spirit of God to apply the truth to our lives. Because what good is the Word of God if it's not meant to be used in our lives? And so that's what I want to do. And in order to do that, let's talk to the Lord and ask Him to work in our lives today. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are a good God. We thank You that You have You're a holy God. And we thank You, Lord, that not only are You good and holy, but Lord, You have compassion upon the world. You have seen the world in its fallenness, and You have given to us the divine solution that is necessary for our fallen world. And so we're asking that today we would be convinced from the Scriptures and from the Spirit of God working in our lives, that we would be confident to know that He that has begun a good work in us will perform it till the day of Christ. And that means that Your mission needs to be carried out in Your world and done in Your way. And we're asking that we would understand the part that we play in that today. And we'll thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever come upon a mess and frozen in your tracks? Do you know what I'm saying? You know, it's that bowl of spaghetti, and you're walking across a white floor, and all of a sudden you trip. And there is spaghetti and sauce everywhere. And you come upon the scene, and you see that person has just done that, and you sort of freeze. And then that person responds to you, don't just stand there, do something. You see, they know they're in a mess. And they know that in that mess, something has to change. And that person that is looking at that mess is frozen in place and is not doing a thing. And so the response is, don't just stand there, do something. Now, our world is in a mess, and it's not spaghetti. I think of the messes that we see all around us. Unfortunately, I think that we are paralyzed by the mess we see. Unfortunately, I think we reach in our pockets and we're carrying the mess with us. It's on a phone. And we're looking at all of the news that's on the phone. And that's not a good thing. Because many times we see it and it causes us to be driven to paralysis. And instead of doing what we should be doing, we just go there and we do nothing. And I think the Spirit of God comes upon us in that time. And the Spirit of God is saying to us, don't just stand there. And to finish it off, do something. I was thinking a lot about that recently. And I'm glad to be able to say that I've been encouraged over the years to see that this church has made a decision not just to stand there, but to do something. And they've done many different things. For instance, there have been career missionaries that have gone out because we have to understand that we do not cower in the darkness. We want to penetrate it. We have sent out career missionaries. And some of those career missionaries are here, and some of them are out in the field. Here's just a sampling, because as was already mentioned, there's 12 people that we could be talking about, and more, because there are some that are here today that are retired. There are some that have been here at former missionary conferences, and they have served. And we have been engaged with people who are career missionaries, and it's been encouraging. But we've also been involved in short-term missions. I thought, I've been using eye charts a lot. I thought, I'm going to try it on you. There's some of the places where we've been involved in short-term missions. You see, we've not only sent career missionaries, but we've sent those that are in short-term. And this is just a sampling. I went to Vince Sensenig and said, hey, Vince, how about giving me some of the places where the teams have been involved, and then I added some that I was aware of. And this is just a sampling. I couldn't get them all on the screen because we weren't just going to stand there. We were going to do something. And then I think of another thing that comes to my mind is that we've been developing long-term relationships with different mission agencies over the years. Now, this again, just a sampling, because we could add some things that were you know, ongoing. For years, for decades, we've been involved with some places, and it has made a difference, because we've made a decision as a church not just to stand there, but to do something. And there's people that are involved in some of these things. So let me just give a sampling. I know we're online, but how many folks are here are career missionaries? Would you just stand right where you are? Okay. There's some there. There. Okay. Now that's just, you know, a sampling. How about the ones that have retired? Now, keep standing, by the way. Boy, you really sat down quick. How about those that have even retired? That have been sent by this church. Would you stand? Where's Jim and Emily? Where are they? I thought, are they standing or are they short? Okay, I can't see. I'm sorry. Okay, now, while they're standing, anybody that has been on a short-term missions trip, would you stand, please? Or a missions project? Okay. Keep standing. How many have been involved with one of these projects that we have up on the screen? You stand, whether it was construction or whatever it was. Okay. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see as you look around the auditorium? The decision was made by this church, don't just stand there, do something. And they did. Okay, now you can be seated, and I just blew the illustration. Because you should have be standing through the whole service, but we won't do that. But do you understand what I'm saying here? I want to just highlight three that are on the screen there. Alaska, Zaporozhye, and in Montana. Well, the first one is, don't just stand there. And we didn't. We went to Alaska. Now, it wasn't just to see moose. You know, a lot of people, you know, unfortunately have this attitude, yeah, I want to go on a mission trip because I've never been there before. I've never seen this. I can't wait to see this. That's not why we're involved. We're involved because there's people that need to hear about Jesus Christ. And so we were involved in a number of things. We were in a partnership with Don and Millie Ressler. Millie was from this church. And it's interesting, we partnered with them, and we've done that for many, many years. We've been involved in many different ways in that partnership. We were involved in what is called SMP, Summer Missions Program. And that was to train young people to be involved in a lot of different things, in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different places, whether it was serving in a hospital, whether it was serving in a radio, whatever. But it was a lot of different ways that we had young people involved there. And older people. We had teams that went up from our congregation that were involved in construction. And it was amazing at some of the things that they did. This, by the way, was one of the places that we worked on, the team. And this was a one-story house. And it was really wobbly and ready to cave in. And we were involved with a number of folks to jack this up and to put that house back on a firm foundation. But there's so many different things. So it was involved in the SMP, it was involved in construction. It was involved in training people to go into the native tribes. We have young people that have gone through our church that were involved in this, and they would be trained, and then they would go for an entire summer back into some of the native tribes to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we were convinced we weren't just to stand there. We were to do something. And then Zaporozhye. Many of you have been praying for Zaporozhye. You've been praying for the Ukraine. You're aware of what's going on there. And we've been involved with them for decades. The first time that we had a contact with them was in the early 1990s. And then we had a person named Laura Moore, who went from our church, career missionary, served in Ukraine, and she made a connection, a deeper connection, to Zaporozhye. And when she did, we began to realize that there's ways that we could help. This was the church that we went to. This is South Church. This church was in desperate need for a number of different things, but they were a light in the world, and we wanted to support that light. And we realized that there was humanitarian needs. And so we started to be involved in that. But we understood that we're not just supposed to give people the bread, physical bread, but we're to give people the spiritual bread. So if you can see some of those pictures, a lot of these people are oldies and goodies. They're like me. You know, isn't it interesting? I just looked at that. I actually had hair there. Isn't that kind of mate? And Herb Fisher's there. I mean, Herb goes back that far. It's interesting. And you see a number of others that are here that were involved in this humanitarian aid. We also were involved in developing an organization called Hope International. Hope International was incorporated mainly from the people that were in our church in 1997. In 1997, it started. Now it's in, this ministry has reached out from Zaporozhye to 17 countries around the world. That's pretty amazing. Started here because we were not content to just stand there. We realized God wanted us to do something. And then in connection with that as well, they launched the Tomorrow Clubs. This is a children's ministry. And this was connected with Hope International. But then it's branched off. It's now reaching worldwide to reach children for Jesus Christ in places that you would not normally think of. By the way, this particular club is meeting at a bus stop because it's the one place that's safe during the bombings right now. It's a concrete structure. So isn't it amazing? And then we were involved in helping to establish the Bible College and Seminary in Zaporozhye. We contributed buying land so that they could build a building. We were involved in actually going over, and I was sent over there to teach for periods of weeks. So we were convinced that we were not just to stand there, but to do something. How about thinking again about Montana? Montana, we've been involved in that particular area of the world. And one of the reasons we were involved was because of the missions conference. A man named Frank Jackson came and spoke at a missions conference. And he spoke, and it challenged the hearts of a couple that were just married. And they went out there to work in this area, remote northwest Montana. And when he went there, it was pretty tough. He was in an unheated cabin that was on a property there, and he would teach, and so he needed a place to stay. And one of the things, this is the community center. This is where they met, because there was no place to meet. So there was a Bible study group that had been meeting for years, but never had really developed as it could. And so we sent out teams. The first teams we sent out were to work with the camps that were in the rural Montana area. Then the other things that we did was we did vacation Bible schools. And we were involved with them not just to address the needs of that area, but to address people who were not able to get out. It's the closest town's 40 miles away. And so they had a tough time getting to church. And so the idea was a missionary was sent. That couple that was ministered to by Frank Jackson, they went, they began to serve, they left that area. But the interesting thing is the work continued. It touched somebody sitting in this church. There was a family that took early retirement as a vice president of a company, took early retirement, moved to Montana, and in Montana helped establish the church. And so we wanted to support what was going on in Montana. And so we started to be involved in construction. We had people in this church that had skills, and they took those skills and they used them for Jesus Christ, because they weren't just going to sit there, they were going to do something. And the end result was pretty amazing. When we were out there for the construction, this is what we saw when we first got there, just the foundation. And then building upon that foundation, in just about 10 days, the final product was over. Actually, it took 2 years, but that was the parsonage. But you say, well, why did they build a parsonage? Because that community building where they were meeting, they were no longer allowed to meet there. And they built this parsonage, and then they turned it into a place where they could have their church services, and then they used all the bedrooms and everything else in there so that they could be involved in having Sunday school for the kids in the area. Because you see, the conviction was a team of people who are willing to use their talents, whatever those talents were, could make an impact for Jesus Christ. They were convinced not just to stand there, but to do something. And as a result of that, there's now, after that, there was another team that went out and they built a church. And it's called Yak Community Church. 10 years ago, I was out there for its dedication. And amazingly, here in this particular remote area, a great percentage of the people of that region go to this church. Nothing else gone. And so they meet there. And it's an amazing thing to see what God is doing and has done. And there's even plans for the future to grow that building, maybe even double it in size, partly because of the fact, the matter, that God has been blessing and something is happening there in Yak, Montana. Do you see what I'm saying? These are just three examples. We could take you to a lot of other places where we have partnered with people to see the cause of Christ grow. You see, we are not just to stand there in this world. We're to be the light of the world. I always think it's amazing. Jesus Christ, when he was talking to his disciples, didn't say, "How many of you would like to be the light of the world? Would you raise your hand?" He didn't do that. Do you realize that's a command? You are the light of the world. Bang. Okay. So how are you going to do that? Are you going to be startled and freeze? Are you just going to stand there? Or are you going to do something? And I think that that's what really impressed me as I was asked to speak here for this session. I wanted to underscore the fact that we're to be the light of the world. And we are. But don't just stand there as lights. Be lights that impact the world for Jesus Christ. That's important. And so what we need to do is we must not cower in the darkness, but we must be people who are bold in our witness for Christ. By the way, being a witness for Christ isn't an issue of geography. It's an issue of submission to the mission that God has given the church and his people. You know, some of us are now saying, "Oh boy, you know, I can't do construction. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do the other." I'm not asking you what you can't do. I'm asking you, what can you do? Can you do something to reach the person across the street from you? I think you can. Can you simply say, "I'm available"? You know, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" By the way, when you ask that question, he's going to answer it. He certainly is, because he's equipped us to be used by him for his glory and for his honor. And he wants us to stay on mission. And he wants us to be involved in mission as we're staying on mission. So let me just take you to a New Testament passage that you know very well. As a matter of fact, Pastor Chris did an excellent job in talking about this passage. I'm just going to look at it a little bit differently in Acts chapter 1. So please turn your Bibles to that passage, because I want to make four observations as we look at this passage of Scripture. And it's pretty interesting as we do this. Jesus has been ministering for 3.5 years. He's demonstrated that he was indeed the Son of God by many signs and miracles and that he performed. He was rejected. He was crucified. And now he's risen, and he's about to ascend into heaven. He's called his disciples to be with him during his earthly ministry. So they have seen the Master minister. Wow, that's an interesting phrase. You know, because they have watched Jesus and what he did and what he was concerned about and how he stayed on mission, and he never got off it. And so they had this opportunity to see him, and they were now to stay there, right as it says in Acts. Jesus Christ is about to leave earth to go to heaven, and he's leaving his disciples to carry out his mission to declare his message of the good news to the world. And the mission he gave to them is the mission he's given to us. You know, you can't beg off and say, "Well, you know, these missionaries that are here this week, you know, after all, you know, they're special." Well, okay. And so are you. Because you're his chosen priesthood. So you're special. You're called to be involved in what God wants done in his world. And we need to recognize that. So this mission he gave them is given to us, and we see it in Acts chapter 1. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 2. So take your Bibles and devices or whatever you have and listen to the Word of God. "Until the day which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles, which he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive, after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them to not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Do you see this? It talks about the possibility of God's mission in verses 2 through 5. He says, you need to understand that this mission is because of Jesus Christ. You need to understand the person of Jesus, and he does this by showing himself alive. Can you imagine? If you want to understand how important this mission is, understand that the living God is behind this mission. And the mission is possible because of a risen Christ. You're not going to go and go to a cemetery and see the remains of Jesus. You're seeing Jesus alive. And it's because of that. The mission is possible because it's a risen Christ. And he's given them infallible proofs. He's shown himself alive. And he did that. You remember to the disciples on the road to Emmaus? You remember how he revealed himself to them? And they didn't get it at first? And that always encourages me because I'm thinking, I'm not the only dumb one in the room. You know, I don't get things real quick, maybe. But I want to tell you that Jesus was patient with them, and he talked to them. He revealed to them the Old Testament. He spoke of the fulfilled prophecies concerning himself. And the amazing thing in all of this is that then he does more than just talk. He then, in that same chapter, in chapter 24 of Luke, in the last few verses, 36 to 40, he comes and he reveals himself personally. And he does that to them in the upper room. So he gives these proofs. He showed himself alive. You need to understand that you are serving a risen Savior. There's a chorus that we used to sing. I don't know if they do it anymore. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. You ask me how I know he lives. Well, how do you know he lives? He lives within my heart. And my heart is bursting to tell people about Jesus Christ. Is he bursting in your life? Or are you just standing there? Well, I want to encourage you to do something. Now, I see something else here, too, in this passage of Scripture. You not only understand the person of Jesus, you understand the program of Jesus. And he talks about that in verses 2 and 3. It's possible because he has a plan. Jesus has declared what he wants to do. He's declared that he wants to work through them. He's declared that they are his witnesses. And then we need to understand the promise of Jesus. In verses 4 and 5, the mission is possible because of the power of the Spirit. Jesus Christ talked an awful lot about the Spirit. In fact, you read about it in the Gospel of John. Chapters 14 through 16 talks about this. Don't get nervous. I'm not going to look at the whole those chapters. But isn't it interesting how he talks about the Spirit? And he talks about the importance of the Spirit because it's because of the power of the Spirit that the mission of Christ can be carried on. You see it in, for instance, in chapter 14, verse 16. He says there to his disciples, a very important truth. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. In other words, this is anticipation. Jesus says, I know what you need, and you need a helper. You've got a task, but you're not doing it alone. And that task is carried on by the helper, and it's the Spirit. You see a similar thought that is given in the same chapter, verse 26. And it says there, Jesus is speaking, he says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you so that you can have a lot of information. No. So that you can communicate that truth to people who need the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In other words, he says, just because you have power doesn't mean that you don't fear carrying out the mission. And Jesus says, I not only give you the power through the Spirit, but I give you the peace through the Spirit. And you need that too. Some of you say, well, I'm afraid to talk to my neighbor. You know, they're different than me. Well, thank the Lord that they're different than you. But you know, one of the greatest differences is you have the Holy Spirit of God now living in you. They don't, but they can. And that's great news. That's good news that we can share. And then it's interesting, too, that in chapter 15 of John, it says in verse 26 something pretty interesting. He says there, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. In other words, he says, you know, all I want you to do is talk to people. Gossip about me. Tell them about me. Tell them what you've witnessed. And let them then be worked upon by the Spirit of God, who will convict them of judgment and righteousness. And he's going to be confirming the truth that you speak. I think that's a great thing. The possibility of God's mission. God's work is bigger than people's power. Jesus is powerfully alive, fulfilling his mission, and he's going to provide what power is necessary to get the mission accomplished. Jesus said his power would be necessary and it would be provided. Notice what it says back there in Acts in chapter 1, in verse 5, it says, not many days from now. He says, hey, time's coming. I'm leaving. You're fulfilling the ministry and the mission that needs to be accomplished. That's pretty amazing. In other words, Jesus says, I've just begun the mission. You're going to finish the mission. You're going to be engaged in the mission. And I'm going to give you the resources to be able to do it. So don't just stand there. Do something. There's a second observation I see in this passage, and look at it. It's in verses 6 and 7. There sometimes can be a preoccupation that distracts us from God's mission. In verse 7, hear what Jesus says. He said to them, after they ask a question, they said, Lord, will you restore at this time the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not any of your business. That's the RSV, Reed Standard Vision version. It is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. In other words, they were preoccupied with something that Jesus didn't necessarily want them to be preoccupied about. Now, understanding he has talked to them about the kingdom. He just did that back in, I think it was verse 3, where he said there something about he talked to them about the kingdom. But he realized that what they were hung up on was they were hung up on the fact of the when. And it says they were preoccupied by the things concerning the kingdom of God. And so they got so excited about the kingdom that they became absorbed in the time, not the task. They got absorbed in the when and not the want. They were becoming clock watchers, not kingdom workers. How many times do we do that? We get absorbed in things that are going on around us and not what Christ wants us to be absorbed about doing. Are you concerned about what Christ is concerned about? You know, what should occupy them? Well, it's so easy to be, you know, distracted, preoccupied by things that, you know, they're important, but not necessarily the most important. Jesus was focused upon the people of the world. They focused upon the political situation of Israel. You know, good. Now that we've gotten through this thing with you dying and being raised, now we can get on with the business. Let's get this culture changed. And Jesus says, no, let's get people transformed by the Spirit of God. Let's let God work. As he works in people, he works through people to impact the culture around us. Be preoccupied with what I'm preoccupied about. What was Jesus interested in? Was he interested in all the stuff that we get interested in? I think it's kind of amazing. John chapter 4. Remember what that was about? The woman at the well, remember? Where were the disciples when he was talking to the woman at the well? Out looking for food. Where's the nearest McDonald's? You know, they're out looking for food. And then when they come back, they see Jesus preoccupied with a woman. A woman? Not only a woman, a Samaritan woman. A Samaritan? And what was he doing? He was preoccupied with people, not the stuff around him. What preoccupies us? Are we distracted? You know, I've had people talk to me about, well, you know, I would serve the Lord if. I hate that when I hear the if. If. Don't worry about the if. Be worried about loving what Christ loves. And who did Christ love? He loved that woman. Remember, the disciples said, hey, we found the McDonald's. Here's something to eat. Hey, don't need it. I have something better. I have a woman to talk to about how to have a relationship with God and to understand that it's not where you worship, it's are you qualified to worship? Do you know God? And you do if you know me, because I and the Father are one. Now, some of you are jumping to conclusions. I can hear it. I can actually smell the gears turning in your mind. Am I saying the physical things aren't important? No. But I am saying this, that physical things aren't enough. And a lot of times we get distracted in the not enough stuff. You know, I'm so glad that, for instance, when there was the decision to be involved in Ukraine, we were going to address physical needs. But as I sat there on the founding board of that organization, the one thing that we set in the very foundational materials was that we would not just address people's physical needs, we would address people's spiritual needs. One does not cancel the other. It's both and. And it's interesting that I'm emeritus. You know, when you get old enough, you're emeritus of everything. And so I was talking to the director of the organization. I said, do you still have that thing in our original documents that they can't change the mission of this organization unless there's 3 consecutive unanimous votes over a period of 2 years? And that in that, it says there that we will constantly not only address people's physical needs, but we'll address people's spiritual needs. It will be the gospel, and it will be that good news of the gospel, as well as other things. And I've seen that. It's amazing to see what God has done, because we stayed on mission, and they still do. And that's what we need to do. We need to stay on mission. Don't get distracted. Don't be preoccupied with things that they're important. But there's things that are probably more important. Be like Christ. He says that he saw the darkness, but he did not give himself over to that darkness. In fact, what he wanted to do is he wanted to please his Father. He says, I do nothing on my own initiative, he says in John 8, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him, talking about his Father. What would happen if the Church of Jesus Christ in the United States would stay on mission and would do only the things that would please the Father? I have a feeling there would be a radical change about what's happening. I don't think there would be having to be any begging for people to serve Christ. There would never have to be put out these long pronouncements. We need this, we need that, we need these people. There would be people saying, what can I do? Where can I go? What can I teach? That would be the message, because they love what Christ loves, and Christ loves the world. I love the fact that the early church realized it could be distracted. Acts chapter 6, remember that? Hey, can't wait on tables. Sorry, that's not my mission at this time. It's not that it's not important. You feed those people, but let's select people to do it. We're going to stay in the ministry of the word. They stayed on mission. Important. I like that verse that where Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He's saying that early in his ministry. He knows we can be distracted people. He knows it. And so he wants us to stay on mission. And not only that, but you know, I think that the Apostle Paul picks this concept up, because he writes, therefore, since you have been raised with Christ, strive for the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. Stay in mission. Be careful. There's a preoccupation that can distract from mission. And Jesus sees this. He sees them all hung up on, is the kingdom coming now? Hey, he says, don't worry about that. I'll take care of that. My Father takes care of that. He knows when the kingdom will come. There's another thing I want you to see, another observation in this passage, and it's so simply stated. I'm always amazed at how churches can make things so complicated, and they can make these grand mission statements. I mean, immense mission statements. Jesus does it in one verse. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And as I look at that, look what it says. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. End of mission statement. Boom. Three things really stand out to me as I was studying this passage the last 4 weeks. The first thing that stood out to me is that this is a spiritual ministry. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The Greek word there is dunamis, which means strength, ability, inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. It's not human organization. It says you will receive power. And I'm reminded of the Old Testament passage, Zechariah 4, 6. It says, it's not by might, not by power, it's by the Spirit. Understand that ministry is not done because we're really brilliant people. If that were the case, I would have never been involved in ministry. It's not because we have unique abilities. If you have unique abilities, you know where they came from? God gave them to you. What we need to understand is that this is a spiritual ministry that we're involved in. And this is not only a spiritual ministry, but do you notice this is a personal ministry? It says, you shall be witnesses. It says, you shall receive power. It's not, well, I don't understand why these people don't get going. I don't understand why this church isn't ministering like it should. It would be maybe if you were working. Ooh, that's kind of convicting. You see, don't overlook the fact that it's a personal ministry. You shall receive power. You will be my witnesses. And the word for witnesses is kind of an interesting word. It's martus. It's where we get our word martyr. It's a witness. It's used in a legal and historical sense. You see, we are witnesses by our lives and our lips. We tell of Jesus, and also we tell of Jesus and his impact in us. It's telling, as one person put it years ago, it's one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Isn't that it? That's it. You know, when I talk to people about my faith in Christ, you know, the thing that I talk about is what he's done for me. Again, chorus came to mind. After all he's done for me, after all he's done for me, how can I do less than give of my best and to live for him completely after all he's done for me? That's all I want to tell the world. I want to tell the world, here's how you can be transformed by Christ. That's my story. And that's the story of the gospel. That's the good news, that Jesus Christ died for sinners, that he was buried, that he was raised again, he ascended to heaven, and now he lives to make intercession for us. That's good news. And it's not complicated. It needs to be communicated. Big difference. We make it so complicated that we don't communicate the truth of the gospel when it has been communicated to us in such simple forms, and it's been, and we're convinced of it because of the ministry of the Spirit of God. Isn't that amazing? And then, one last thing, the particulars associated with the mission of the gospel. It's a spiritual ministry, it's a personal ministry, and it's an expanding ministry. It talks about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. In other words, it's not just for one locality. It's expanding to the world. It's a worldwide ministry. That's why we have a missionary conference, to tell you about what opportunities are there. Because Jesus Christ, I believe, has someone that he wants to use in some particular place where there's darkness, and this is a place where people can be the light of the world. That's important. And one last thing, and this is where we came up with this, or I came up with this title. The fourth observation is this: participation in God's ministry needs our engagement now. Now. So, well, someday, let me tell you, some days never come. You'll never hit the right day. Someday. Someday. The mission demands action. Why stand you looking up into the sky? Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched as he was ascending, taken up, and a cloud received him out of sight, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in manner as you have seen him go to heaven." Do you see this? The mission demands action. Why stand you looking up into the sky? They had been instructed by Jesus. He had given them a demonstration of how to carry out mission. The mission's been clarified. And now this angelic being is saying, get to it. Why are you standing around looking up? Get to it. And the mission is time sensitive. Do you see that? He says, this Jesus will come in just the same way as you have watched him go. He left when he was ready to leave, and he's going to return when his father says, it's time to come. And in the meantime, don't just stand there. Do something. Do something. I was always impressed with Matthew chapter 25 because Jesus gives two illustrations there. The first illustration is about the 10 virgins, and it's saying, you know, be alert and ready. The Lord's coming back. And it's about the oil. Remember that? They didn't have the oil. They weren't ready. And he says, he gives this illustration to tell them that they need to be alert and ready. And then he goes on and he gives another illustration. It's servants who were to be stewards of the master's wealth. He says, the master gives this wealth and he's coming back. So he says, invest wisely. Don't bury the talent God gave you. Use it for the glory of God. So Jesus has given us a mission and a message. Don't just stand there. Be the light of the world. Do what God wants you to do. And I don't know what it is. I am not the convictor of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes along and he lays it upon hearts to say, this is what I can do, because this is what God has, where God has placed me, and this is what God wants me to do. He wants me to be light in a dark world. And again, it's not an issue of geography. Geography might be important because it makes sense if there's poor places where it's in darkness and people have not the light. It makes sense to take the light where it's dark. But at the same time, it can be dark across your street. It can be dark across our county. It can be dark in the schools. We're going to hear in a little bit from Child of Answers and Fellowship. And when I say that, you know the thing that strikes me? Is there's people that whine all the time because our schools don't have the Ten Commandments on the walls. And yet we can have clubs in those schools. And you know, they could have more clubs in the schools if people were willing to go into the schools. But they have more schools that want clubs than they have people that are willing to go into the schools. Doesn't make sense. Why do we pray for something and God opens the door and then we don't go through it? Why do we talk about people who in other countries that need to hear the gospel, and yet God says, well, you can't get into their country, but there are people from that country that can come here and they can hear the gospel here. So why in the world aren't we invested in that? Why in the world are we just standing there? Let's do something. You know, in your bulletin today, there's a global ministry sheet. One of the things you can do is pray. And here's prayer requests that are listed there. You can invest your stuff, your monies, your gold and your silver. I don't know if you have any gold and silver, but you can invest your stuff. But there's other opportunities too. You can serve. Here's some short-term ministries in the back of that you can be praying about. Maybe you can't go, but maybe you can make it possible for someone else to go. All I'm saying is don't just stand there. Do something and do it for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you that you've made it pretty clear. You want us to be engaged in worldwide ministry. Help us to do that. Help us to be involved in people's lives. People who are dead in their trespasses and sins, they need to come to a knowledge of the truth. And so, Lord, I ask that you would do that. I'm asking today, if there's anyone here that is saying, yeah, I've been just standing there. I've been paralyzed by not knowing what to do. But Lord, help me to do what you want me to do. Help me to be what you want me to be. Lord, I want to make myself available anywhere, anytime, any place. Use me, because that's why you have me here. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.